Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Real Talk Radio. I'm your host, Roxy Rose, and you're now in tune with The Roxy Rose Show. And please give a big shout-out to my co-host, Shay Rose.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for tuning in.
And let's not forget our awesome guest caller, Nizzy May.
What is up, everybody?
Awesome. Okay. So,
We got a nice show tonight.
What, Shay?
We got a nice show tonight for everyone.
Do you want to bring in what we're talking about?
All right. Tonight, we have, I'm sure everybody's probably seen this article that's going around, the Candace Cameron Bure. She's from Full House. Well, anyway, she was discussing a little about her and her husband's relationships. And it's all about balancing and how everything's going on with their relationship and their, like, a submissive role she's saying that she has in her relationship. Her new book is called Balancing It All, My Story of Juggling Priorities and Purpose. So she pretty much is talking about how she plays a submissive kind of meekness. It is not necessarily weak, but that's what she is saying, and it's kind of been blowing up throughout the internet.
I think it's been really blowing up because of the whole submissive, the wording she's been using in her book.
Mm-hmm.
The word submissive, I think, has been really upsetting a lot of people.
Exactly. I was reading some stuff. I was looking into it, and I feel like people are kind of looking at it the wrong way. I'll give my kind of point of view about the whole thing. I kind of feel like people, when you say submissive, it sounds like such a strong, like, negative, kind of like has a negative connotation to it. I feel like people kind of think it means like subservient type of thing. That's what I feel like people are thinking when they hear that word, kind of like meek and like, oh my gosh, like, I don't know. How do you feel?
How do you feel in your relationship? Do you feel like you're the submissive? Do you feel like there is even a role? I think it's just completely equal.
Yeah. I mean, personally, I guess I can say for myself, I also take a submissive approach to our relationship with me and my husband. I know my role in my relationship, and to people that sounds like, oh, no, she didn't say that, like, I can't believe, she would say that, like it's kind of like negative, but for me, it's like, hey, take the ropes. You want that, like, I do a lot in my relationship, and we both know it, and for me personally, I stay home with my children, I raise the household, I do all the cooking and clean, like, most of the cleaning, he comes, and I love that part. I love having such a big role in raising my children. And I do most of the billing as well. So when something goes wrong, it's like, or I need help, I ask, whatever. And then, he fixes it.
So you're saying, though, that you don't really take the submissive.
It is.
You kind of do take the reins.
I feel like everybody has their own role, and so does Candace Cameron as well. But she's saying more like her husband has the final say, which – also with, I feel like my husband also does, but it's not, negative. I feel like if you're secure in your relationship and you have a loving relationship, who's the judge anyways? I don't know who all these people are to judge in the first place. She seems very happy.
Can I be honest? The truth is when I saw this article, my reaction was the person who shared it, they were against it. They said that it took feminism back 100 years. Honestly, I offense to that. I really didn't like what she has to say about the article because, honestly, what is feminism? It's women can make their own decisions. Now, Candace wants to make her own decision to be the submissive, and isn't that what feminism is all about, giving her that right?
No, 100%. 100%. Yeah, and like I said, she seems extremely happy with it, and she has her own role, he has his own role. I don't know. Nizzy, what do you feel?
Personally, I'm not personally married or anything, but I'm in a relationship.
But relationships in general, you don't have to be married.
For me personally, I wouldn't, like, I don't take offense that any female that stays home and takes care of the kids and cooks and cleans, if that works for you, that works for you. But that don't work for me.
Yeah, exactly.
I would rather it be 50-50, you know, we both work, we both take care of the kids, we both do that. I would prefer it that way. Because, and how I think about it is differently. Just in case something does happen to where the marriage doesn't work or the relationship doesn't work, you know, I know that I can stand on my two feet by myself if he decides that he leaves. Because
I have a degree.
Because he's the breadwinner and he's the one that's working and paying the bills, and then he decides that he wants to go and cheat or leave or something, then what am I left with? I'm left with some kids piling up, and I'm not going to know what I'm going to do. I've seen a lot of my friends stuck in that situation, whereas they're taking their home, taking care of the kids, and the relationship does not work out. And they're stuck. They're stuck with a child, not knowing what to do. Then they have to go back out and find a job, which that's going to be hard enough because you got to put the child in daycare. You got to pay for daycare. It just gets kind of messy.
Well, then what if in your relationship you're strong and you guys know that you're both, you know, not going to see each other. You have a very trusting, real relationship. And so if you put those things aside, that if what if something happens, is it really a problem if your husband is the one who makes the decision? Like, if you really trust each other, then, is it even a problem?
I mean, no, it's not a problem. I guess the way I see it is I'm kind of like a little controlling too, because I like to have control. I like to have control of things too. I don't like just a man controlling everything. I like to have a little control too, to feel like I'm a part of the relationship instead of the man just having the full control. I'm gonna let you be a man, of course. A man's gotta be a man. I'm gonna let you take a lot of the role, but not all of it, because
I feel when I take too much of a role, we kind of just butt heads. I feel like when I kind of step back a little bit, that it just flows so much better. And ultimately, I feel like I'm definitely I feel like any woman anyways really has the reins of the relationship. Like, you really are the one that has the go, like the say in what really happens, but you just don't let them know. You let them think that
exactly.
Shannon,
that is like on the dot. That's exactly
what
how
a man
feel.
Needs. You got to feed a man's ego. To me, that's what I feel like. And you got to let him believe, oh, yeah. I mean, personally, for me, you say an idea, you give him an idea, and you're like, no. Oh, that's, you know, like, kind of puts it down a little bit. And then the next day, it's like his idea. It's like, it's your ideas. If you put everything into his head, but you kind of believe, like, I don't know. It sounds maybe goofy, but
works. You know what? Can I be honest? All of the marriage books that I've read, because I do a lot of research, my husband, my family life happens to be the most important thing for me. Other people, you know, they think I'm a little crazy. I read a lot of self-help books. But you know what? This is something that I want to work on. It's something I'm interested in. It's the rest of my life. And all of the books always say that you can't have two heads. You have to have one. And the biggest thing they say is that the woman, honestly, can control the husband without him even knowing it.
That's our specialty, isn't it?
Yeah, I hate the word control, but
that's true, though. It's true. Us women have a way of getting a man to do something without them really causing it. Like, we have a way of even motivating them to do something without them even realizing it. Women are, like, really sneaky at times. We have a way of...
But you know what? Is it sneaky? I feel like women get this bad rap. They get called sneaky or something, or all these bad things. But the truth is it sneaky? I mean, this is how God made us. We're supposed to be like this. We're supposed to be insightful. We're supposed to read into things where men wouldn't necessarily see it.
It's so true. Yeah, with relationships, I also feel like, I feel like it's 100%, 100% instead of 50-50 in a way. I feel like if you both strive, and I mean, if you, and I feel like you can also tell, you can get a feeling if something's not right in the relationship. And then definitely, I feel like you get your, you know, pretty much you get your shit together before you even bring up a divorce. If you, like you
exactly.
said, you're saying, nay, you're nervous about what's going to happen if, God forbid, you know, like, you divorce and you have 2, 3, 5 kids, whatever. Get your crap together, you know, whatever, before you even come to divorce and you start your degree, you have your family support, this and that. If you have to be sneaky, you be sneaky. You just have your friends and family ready for you, and then you guys split up, and so you're not, it's not just like a shock. Like, but for me, I feel like if you're in a relationship, you're in the relationship. You work as hard as you possibly
yeah.
can, both of you. It's 100%, 100%. You love, you know, respect each other.
I feel like you can't really have in the back of your mind that what if or that kind of is going to cause a problem in your relationship.
Not necessarily. You always have to be prepared for anything. Not saying
right
that
here.
Divorce is going to happen, but you have to be prepared for it because you really don't know, even though you feel as though that is your
right
life
here.
Partner, and you're
yeah.
going to last forever. It's not necessarily, and you don't necessarily know when a divorce is going to happen. You're,
mm-hmm.
You don't know. Some things just happen. That man could have been cheating a long time ago. You never thought that was going to come upon, but it just happened. And sometimes you're not even ready, and you're not even prepared for that.
Well,
but
I guess
I mean,
it's the same
then,
as you do. I guess it's the same with, like, if, you know, God forbid he passes away. I mean, you also need to be prepared. I guess it obviously does come to people's minds what to do. I mean,
you have to be prepared for anything because, like I said, I have watched it. Like, I have watched a young couple fall apart instantly. You would think they would be the perfect couple. He was madly in love with her. And everything was perfect, but not really, because everything just started to crumble.
Yeah,
and,
you never know what's going on behind closed doors.
On her, and it crumbled on her because she wasn't prepared for it. She thought that
mm-hmm.
everything was going to last forever. They
yeah.
loved each other, and it was going to work out. Sometimes shit like that just happens, and you're not prepared for it. And it just happened, and she just didn't know what to do. And so, in my mind, I'm not, you know, having the back of my mind thinking that it's actually going to happen. But I want to prepare myself, so I do know if something does happen, I am, you know, emotionally, financially, I can handle it because I've been in that situation before, where. As though
mm-hmm.
you know, I was with somebody and he was, you know, he was bringing in stuff and I was too. We were both doing it together, but at the same time I was pulling in more and I was doing most of the work. You could say I was the man in the relationship because I was doing
mm-hmm.
everything. I was
yeah.
doing everything. So when we split and it just, you know, it just didn't work out and we never thought it would. He was stuck because I was the breadwinner. I was the one doing all the work, and he was stuck, and everything fell apart for him because he
yeah.
was not prepared. When a relationship
mm-hmm.
is 50-50, you know that when you go your separate ways, that you know that you'll be ready for it. You know I'll be okay if this relationship ends because I know that I know that it'll take me some time to get back on my feet, but I know I'll be
well,
ready
that's
for
more
it.
Of like a backup plan, though.
Yeah, and I mean, even in career,
you can be technically you could be the submissive and still have a backup plan. You could have an education.
Yeah, that's what
you could
I was
have
thinking.
You know some sort of trade.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Also, that's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
So I mean, there's
so
like. Different examples of a control freak, just thinking about this, is I remember one time I had a friend who, you know, from the outside, everyone else could see that he was controlling and totally, she had no idea how the money situation, she didn't know everything. She checked all of her text messages and voicemails, but not in like a cute way. It was more of, you know, trying to find out what she's doing all day, constantly calling, constantly just mm-hmm. being crazy. Is this article, do you think it's more she's talking about how, do you think he's like that? Or do you think that this is a normal, healthy relationship?
I'd go back to the very first thing we were discussing, like submissive. At the same point, I feel like it's a frame of mind. I feel like people are looking, when you talk about submissive, it's like you have, your husband's like a wife beater or something. I don't know. Like, you know, like you're bowing down to him, you're submissive, like, oh, yes, dear, would you like another glass of water type of deal. Right. I just feel like, you know, I don't know, in a relationship, I feel like there's like one captain, there's one head of the show, and
yeah.
I mean, my husband will probably laugh his head off when he, you know, he's listening or whatever.
Is
but,
he listening?
Oh, he will. Yeah, he's going to hear. He will laugh his ass off, but whatever, I think it's true. I mean, I totally agree with her. I don't know. I don't. She has over, like, there's like 1,000 comments on here of like people, you know, majority of them saying, there's half of them, you know, majority are saying that they don't agree with her. Like, I don't know. It's just.
The truth is, at the end of the day, I kind of do agree with her. Not, I don't like the word she used, but it's honest truth. She shouldn't have said submissive. I think it definitely puts the wrong connotation in people's heads. I think they automatically think either BDSM or he's a psychopath. So if she switched out the wording and used something else, honestly, like, I don't really have a problem with it. I think that marriages sometimes do better, obviously depending on the people, if managed that way with someone heading
right.
family.
Yeah,
right.
I feel like you're the same way, Rucky. Like, you're a very strong-willed person, woman, and at the same time,
woo-hoo!
You enjoy your husband being, like, the, you know.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, my husband definitely makes the final decision.
Right.
Yeah, and
you know, some couples are like that. That works for them, that works for them. Whatever makes your marriage work. And
exactly.
And if Candace, if that's how her marriage works successfully, then that's how it works for her. She may have used the wrong words, and she should have broke it down and explained it more better as to what she's really trying to say. Because, you know, of course, people are going to be critical regardless. It probably doesn't matter anyways how she said it. People are going to be critical. Because she's a celebrity. So, of course, you know, she's going to be the breadwinner. Because she's a celebrity. So she's
mm-hmm.
going to be the breadwinner.
And that's a pretty bold
promotion
that she made. You don't really see people doing that nowadays. Especially
exactly.
in the celebrity world.
Especially a female. They don't really see a female being, you know, in control of things, in control of the relationship or anything like that, or being a breadwinner. Well, today and age, you know, females are really, and they're really doing what they have to do, regardless if it's staying at home, taking care of children, cooking and cleaning. That's a full-time job. That's an all-night job. That's every day.
Hell yeah.
So, if your husband is just going to work, he goes to work and he comes home, you know what I mean, he gets to relax, you still got to deal with the children.
Yeah, but that's the thing. He doesn't come home and relax. That's the thing. Like, people think also, like, the husbands come home with, like, stay-at-home moms. Like, they come home and they expect their dinner. They expect this. No. I mean, my husband, he comes home, and I tell him, like, I'm either going out when he comes home or you take the kids out. I mean, it's not like he comes home and I have dinner ready and it's the house is spotless, you know, like, and he's just sitting there waiting, like, or waiting when he walks the door for his dinner. It's like, hell no. It's like, I'm about to pull, you know, like, I just worked my butt off the same as you, and now we both have to work. I need a break. You had a lunch break at work. Now I'm going to take my break. Like,
exactly. My husband, I came home today and we made dinner together. I don't think that means that, you know, the picture where men come home and they're sitting there reading the newspaper, that doesn't happen. I still feel like he's the commander, but we still do everything together. I mean, obviously, I'm more into the housework, but that's because I think women are naturally like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And if I need help and if I need him to do the dishes, I need him to make the dinner that night, then he does it. He doesn't, I don't expect him to do it. He doesn't expect to do it every time he comes home. But if it needs to be done, then I tell him, I call him and let him know before he walks in the door that this is what needs to happen. And
I for me to stay sane. Too. Like, I just give him a heads up. But
yeah,
I want to take a minute. Maybe let's see if there's anyone out in the audience that wants to come in and give their two cents.
I would love to hear some feedback.
Yeah.
Do we give them the number or they just call in?
if anyone's out there listening, give us a shout-out at 347-838-9540. Again, it's 347-38-9540. We definitely want to hear what you have to say about this.
Men, women, husband, boyfriend, whatever. It'd be great. I'd love to
partners.
Hear some other, partners, whatever.
I watched a show recently that said the same thing. They were a gay couple, and they still had an arrangement. One of the men were obviously more of the ones who made the decision than the other one. I think even in business, it has to be like that.
Yeah, it does. It does.
How does
it
work with two powerhouses running the show? You know, like, how does that even work? I can't even imagine.
Yeah. I mean,
like,
I think
fighting,
even in
fighting.
Partnerships, if you own a business together, I think one is definitely more...
You have your own role.
...and kind of makes the decisions than the other.
Yeah, one's the charismatic person that goes out and gets the business, and one's the behind-the-show guy, you know?
Exactly.
The smart and the whatever.
The what?
My take on it. The smart brain. I don't know.
There's always, I feel like even in business, there's a female part and a male part. As weird as that sounds.
Yeah. It does sound negative. I mean, it just does for some reason. But it's to me, it's true. I don't know.
Listen, it's working. I have a lot of friends and I see their marriages. And it's sad, but like, if you can't be okay with that, this is your role and that's his role or her role, I mean, then where are you going to go from there? You need to know where you stand.
No matter what it is, even if it's reversal, if you guys know then that's what's going to happen, that's what happens. Like stay-at-home dads or, you know, like they stay at home and the woman goes out. If you guys are fine with that, that's fine. Like you need to find what is your relationship, what works for your relationship. I don't know. Or anyway.
All
right.
And it all comes down to basically y'all have to sit down and communicate and discuss what's going to work first.
That's key.
Before any of that, before y'all decide to get married and all that, y'all have to decide what's going to work for you two. Because at the end of the marriage, it's not going to work if you don't communicate and discuss what is going to, you know, what works between the both of you. Rather it's like, God wants to stay home with the children, let him stay home, and she goes out and makes the money and, you know, pays the bills and all that. It whatever works. But you have to, sit down and communicate about it.
So I think we've put aside the article that she had with her and her husband, and I think we kind of put together that, I don't know if we really think that he's a control freak. So the putting that aside, what is a control freak? Because that is a negative word. It's not something we like. So I think Shay, didn't you have eight signs that you're a control freak?
I don't know. That was control freak. What do you think control freak is?
Let's go through that list. Let's see what's going on. Maybe we're control freaks. Who knows?
I mean, personally, for me, I feel like I'm a control freak when it comes to my house, like cleaning. Like some people have, some people have people coming in cleaning their house, or maids, or doing the laundry, doing this and that. Even though it sounds great and la-di-da to me, I would, you know, in the scheme of things, it sounds wonderful. I would love it, but at the same time, I couldn't have it. I couldn't have somebody in my house touching my stuff. I mean, how do you tell them where you want your things? Like, it just doesn't even, I can't fathom it. Like, how do you know how to clean my house or put my things away? I just something that needs to be done by me. I don't know.
You know, honestly, I have no problem with someone coming in here and cleaning my house. You could go right ahead. I work at home. I have two kids. I have a messy guy living here, and I have no problem with that. Honestly, half the time she misplaces tons of stuff, but, like, I don't know.
See, that would drive me out of my mind. I couldn't even, like.
But you know what? If you have a regular person come and help you out, you kind of work with each other. You build a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like you're never going to know where your stuff is. You find it eventually.
That's true. I think that, well, that's kind of like what Shay Rose said. That's kind of like a control freak. Some would say that's a control freak. Like, you like to control everything. You got to have everything in a certain place, and don't touch this, and don't touch that, and don't move this, put that back in the right place. And that's kind of like a control freak. That's kind of like, and then some would say a control freak could be somebody in a relationship that is just really possessive, that has to call you every 10 minutes to see where you're at and who's that in the background. Me personally, I've had somebody like that. I have had somebody drive me really nuts to where he would
a micromanager. Oh my.
I would call me and say, so where are you at? Okay, what time do you get off? When are you going to be home? Are you home yet? Yeah, I'm home.
Oh, no.
So what are you doing? Oh, yeah. Like, just constantly, just really constantly
judging, constantly micromanaging, constantly trying to change
things. You know what the
truth
is I kind of like it. My husband has a little app on his phone, and he knows where I am.
You're
crazy. I kind of like
what are you saying?
You know what? I was once at the gym, and I didn't leave yet, and I told him I left, and he's like, I see that you have not left.
All
okay,
right,
it's not as creepy as I make it sound.
This does not sound like you at all. It does sound creepy. No, it's creepy.
No, but we have a little app on our phone so we can see where we are.
You don't tell people this, Roxy.
Okay,
oh
so
my
it looks like
goodness.
We have a caller. Let's see you're live on the Roxy Rose Show.
Hello, good evening.
Hey.
Leslie.
Hey,
I've been listening for a few minutes. I've been listening for like the past 30 minutes, and I know you guys are talking about control freaks and how one partner or somebody that you know is a control freak.
How do you feel about that?
I think it's debatable because sometimes you can consider someone like control freak just because you don't have the same expectations as that person, and maybe that's the normal thing to do, but you just call them a control freak because they're not doing the same things that you do, I guess you could say. But there are a certain extent where the control freak can be a micromanager and do things at an extreme, and then I think that's when it could be bad for a relationship or
a negative connotation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I see where you come in.
So pretty much if there's abuse, that's pretty much the definition.
No. No, I feel like she's saying, like, in a way, like, if you're, like, a control freak as in, like, a clean freak, let's say a clean freak, anything in that way, if somebody enjoys it, then it's a good, it's good then, but if somebody totally, you know, your spouse cannot stand that you pick up their glass every second they put it down, then it's negative, unless they want their glass clean, then it's a positive.
Yeah, exactly. So you can make control freak cleaning your house, but there's nothing wrong about cleaning your house and having your kids always nice and showered and clean. But then there is a problem when there's a control freak. Let's say the husband is like, okay, who are you calling? Where are you at? What are you doing? Mm-hmm. Or when are you coming home? Or things like that. You know, it's like negative because you're putting a lot of stress on that person negatively.
Mm. Yeah.
So
how would you define control freak?
How would I define control freak? Someone who does something at an extreme, who doesn't follow the normal behavior.
It is true. It is
behavior.
It is extreme. That's true.
But a lot of people would say that that's okay. Like they would say that their relationship, like Candace's relationship, was extreme.
Yeah, some people don't feel like it's not extreme, but I mean, there's a problem there.
If they both enjoy it, if they both enjoy that clean freak or that person, like you said, like you said exactly, that
listen, I'm just playing devil's advocate. I'm going both ways.
No, no, let's put up your little craziness. For instance, you said you like when you and your husband have this little app that, you know, tracks you guys. That, to me, it sounds extreme, and I don't believe I would like that.
Yeah,
but
I would
for
not
your relationship.
Do that
it works, it works.
And it works for you guys, and for you guys, it's not being control freak, but like, let's say for Shannon or myself, I would consider that control freak because that's not the normal for me and my husband, let's say. But it is normal for you guys. So in that case, you guys are not control freak because it's not negatively affecting your relationship or anyone around you.
So I think exactly. So I think it all sums up that people need to, you know, pretty much stay out of their business and their marriage. Candace Cameron marriage. And if she's happy, she's happy.
Yeah, I think it's pretty much just about making each other happy. If someone's uncomfortable, that's probably when the negative connotation of control freak comes in.
Correct. Yeah, when you're feeling uncomfortable, Because someone who cleans a lot, I know my mom, when I was younger, she used to be a control freak of cleaning. Like, she would clean since she opened her eyes until she closed her eyes. I mean, she'll water the garden, she'll clean the house, she'll clean the kitchen like 2 or 3 times. And it got to a point that my dad said, okay, you know, you're taking more time to clean than to do this or that. You know, you got to take less time doing the cleaning part because you already cleaned once. You need to clean 5 times a day. So at that point, it was negatively affecting your relationship. So then she had to step back and stop doing so much cleaning.
Well, you know what? That actually made me think of something. So what if you have a relationship and it's totally working for them and the husband and wife or partner are totally happy, but the kids aren't? And it's negatively affecting the children.
Well, then it has to be changed.
Yeah.
It has to change because when you have kids, you can't think about just the partners, the husband, the wife, or the wife and the wife, the husband, the husband. I don't know. There's so many things that happen now.
We're keeping it politically correct over here.
When you get married or have a partner, your priority, if you have kids, is them. So no longer can you think about, oh, it's okay with me, but it's not okay with our kids. No, it has to be okay with the whole household, not one or the other.
That's
so awesome. I actually really like that response.
I totally agree. I mean, to me, my husband comes first and children second. But definitely, you have to make your children happy. I mean, I used to be obsessed with the show. Have you guys ever watched Wife Swap? And you got to see the two different lives, like you know, play out. It's just outrageous. Like, to me, I mean, like, for instance, like the military and the on-time people and this and that, like they have schedules and this and that. And you could see how negative it was and negatively impacted the children. And I felt majority of the time watching these shows, I was so, like, upset for these children, these poor little guys. But no, they didn't realize at the end of the show, most of the time they realize at the end of the show you really need to let loose, let go, let the children be, you know, have a playtime. But, definitely.
I think it's also important that in a relationship that you always be open to advice and open to not thinking that you're the only one who can think.
Yeah, and I think people have to be, but it's hard sometimes nowadays. Some people are very close-minded. I think, when you are in a relationship or just yourself, you always should be you should always become better every day. So you should be able to get that positive feedback from anybody and take it in your grain of salt, you know, and be a better person and not be an extreme.
Exactly. You have to work on yourself with anything every single day. I find myself.
It's funny. I actually see more and more people, especially as they get older, they get really set in their ways. Like, people just 100%. Never advice from us. And I know it's embarrassing. Like, we're young. But the truth is that even at the later 20s, I'm seeing people get really set in their ways and they never think outside of their own box.
It's so true.
Why are you laughing, Shay?
In your like later 20s, I feel like an old woman already.
No, me too.
I'm in my late 20s. I'm about to be 30 in a few years.
I don't
so it's
say
like...
late. When I say 20s, I don't say late. I say 20s. They can guess which 20 I am.
I don't care. I'm gonna embrace it. I'm excited to be 50. I'm gonna be 70, 50-year-old.
I'm going to fight, kick, and scream the whole way.
Hey, listen, if you keep yourself
great.
In shape, if you keep working out, you eat right.
Oh, in shape and
we're
eat right. Oh, man, that needs me.
Yeah, you have
yes.
to be healthy and happy. I think that's the number one key is happy, because being healthy and being happy, it's two, and you have to have both of them together, because if you're healthy and you're unhappy, then you're probably going to get old fast. And if you're not healthy, you're also going to get old fast. So you need both
yeah.
of them.
I feel like you have to be healthy, healthy, healthy. Gym, workout.
Yeah.
Gym. You have to be working out. If I miss the workout, I'm so grumpy. Like, I just – not – besides the point that they have childcare for 2 hours. I mean, that makes my day as well. But I need that workout. I mean, it's just – it's great.
Well, that's honestly
everybody,
my problem is getting childcare – go to the gym. I always have to go at night. It's exhausting. Who wants to go to the gym at night?
I know. So
go pass
can't
out.
Make it. Yeah.
But you know, you don't need to go to the gym. You can always just get like a DVD and just do something at home. Or
yeah, who's motivated enough for that? Continually to do that.
I need somebody to kick my ass at the gym.
You can even work up for 4 minutes. You only need 10 minutes a day. That's all you need.
I need, like, a mean wildebeest lady in my face making me do these things at the gym. Like this big, muscular lady.
I don't
lady.
See you taking that very well. I actually cannot even imagine you having, like, a wildebeest telling you what to do. I could see you, like, slapping her.
Oh, me? No. Oh, man. Kick my ass.
But get out of my face, ladies. I'm going to have to leave you guys. It was a pleasure
well,
talking to you.
Thank you
so
much,
Leslie.
Thank
you
for joining us.
I learned a lot in this discussion. Thank you for having this on. Hopefully it goes through for a long period of time.
Oh,
it's
thanks,
been
Leslie.
Our pleasure.
Thank you for joining the Roxy Rose Show.
You're
Woo!
Welcome. Thank you. Take care.
Have a great night.
Bye.
Bye.
So what is your drink of choice tonight, Roxy?
What did you say, Shay?
I said, what's your drink of choice tonight? And
what's
Nae Nae?
You don't want to know.
No. Don't tell
I'm
me
scared to tell.
That.
I'm scared to air that over the radio, that dirty laundry.
I'm about to, yeah, finish my wine. Okay. Let's lead off to the next thing. Do you have any New Year's
well, we
resolutions,
have 3 minutes.
Ladies?
We have 2 minutes. 2 minutes
oh.
to break.
2 minutes. Okay, so in that 2 minutes, I guess I could just talk about this little, it's funny. I'm actually, for everybody out there, I'm coming from Texas. My husband's military, little side point, and I'm over here traveling. It's been hell so far, but it's just been crazy. Anyways, I've been staying at my mother-in-law's house last weekend, and I was doing laundry, and I went to put in my laundry, and I was like, where's the soap at? Where's the laundry soap? And they're like, oh, we don't use laundry soap. I'm like, what are you talking about? No laundry soap. And she's like, no, look at this. I have this ball. And she pulled out this ball, and I shook it. It has, like, little balls inside this big ball.
I'm like, gosh,
what are you guys
awesome.
Doing here? Yeah, so she told me. It's actually pretty cool. It saves a lot of money. It's called an Eco Laundry Magnetic Washing Ball, and it's reusable, and it's apparently little magnetic balls inside, and it's hypoallergenic. Chemical free, which I'm huge on. I really, you know,
yeah.
especially with 3 children, I don't like, you know, a lot of. I actually make my own detergent, laundry detergent.
Yeah, I do
but
too.
If I could, great.
Can we do a cyber high five?
I know. We should totally put this up on our Facebook. Actually, we should have these little recipes for our viewers who are interested in
idea.
Making their own. But anyways, chemical free it is, and actually this one ball is good for 1,000 washes. They say that you can just put it out in the sun once a month to recharge these little, you know, mystical.
How does it clean the laundry?
Oh, so it breaks down. It actually changes the pH levels in your water, and it causes friction inside the machine, I guess, when everything's going on in there. It changes, and these magnetic balls change the pH levels, and it breaks down all the gook, grime, and whatnot. She said if it's extremely soiled, mother-in-law said if it's extremely soiled, you know, feces, I guess, or whatnot, you know, they piss in your bed, then you can use a little detergent and it makes it feel better. But she says really every single day she just uses this ball, put it out in the sun. Whenever you think about it, it recharges it. Bam. And for her, she bought it at this little fair in Pennsylvania, but you can get it offline. I found it for like really $10, $15, probably find it on Amazon.
Oh, that's it.
Anyways.
That's not
bad
at all.
Yeah, not bad. I think I really want to try it. The Eco Laundry Magnetic Washing Ball.
Is that's a mouth load.
I know, washing balls. Everybody needs a washing ball.
I want some washing balls.
All right.
Okay, so it
Roxy,
looks like it's time to take a break. But the Roxy Rose Show will be back.
We'll see everyone soon.
See you soon.
Bye-bye.
Keep on falling.
Awesome.
And I love with you. Sometimes I love you. Sometimes you make me blue. Sometimes I feel good. At times I feel good.
Hey, so we're back on the Roxy Rose Show. Shay, are you with
us? Hey. Oh, yeah.
So awesome. So, Shay, it looks like we have a caller. Ebony.
Great.
Ebony, welcome to the show.
Ebony? Oh, no. I think we lost Ebony. Maybe she'll call back.
Oh, no. Aw, shame. Okay. Well, we'll wait. Maybe she'll, yeah, maybe she'll call back. Okay, so wait, back to these balls, Jay.
Don't ask me about my balls, okay? No.
Okay. Sorry. Okay, what was next on our list? Didn't you want to talk something about the New Year's resolution?
Yes, I do. Do you have any New Year's resolution, Roxy?
Yes, I do. The list goes on.
A laundry list, right? Okay, so most of everybody's, I think I can speak for almost everybody, is like probably debt and getting into shape. You know, has some type of debt. And I was actually looking at this article a little while ago, and it was interesting. As I was reading it, it was actually about getting out of debt, but I was putting my biggest thing right now is getting into shape. I have a little baby. So everyone doesn't know, she's 10 months old, but of course I still have, you know, some baby weight to lose. Anyways, as I was reading this list of getting out of debt, I was putting it in, I saw it fit in with getting into shape. And the first, it was like probably about a list of six things to do. So the first thing was like, access the damage, pretty much. So access the damage. Look at your...
I like that. I'm going to do that tonight with Joe.
What's the damage? So it goes both ways. Of course, you can assess the damage as in looking at what debt you have, looking at your credit card bills. I feel like everybody has debt. Everybody is trying to get out of it. No matter if it's, you know, a little bit or a lot, 10,000, who knows, whatever, everybody's different. And the second thing was divide and conquer, pretty much like, and back to the access to damage. For the getting in shape thing, you know what it means. Access to
damage.
That's
not too hard to do. All I need is a mirror.
Like, fitting into your jeans, fitting into your, you know, skinny jeans or your skirts or whatever else you're trying to fit into. So it really, like, goes back and forth. Okay, divide and conquer. Figure out what you want to do. What are your goals? How much you want to lose? How much you want to, shed off your credit card bills or slicing up
your credit card
bills. Yes.
Well,
it's funny
that you mentioned that. A big thing that I want to do is I want to become more of a minimalist. And I know
I like it.
Yeah.
Simple.
Recently I was talking to someone that was telling me about this book that they read. I can't remember what it was called. Maybe The Simple Life, something like that. But it was talking about...
Yeah.
Rebecca.
Is big into
and,
Rebecca is big into that, yes.
You know what? I really think that as a mom with kids and working, I think that the more clutter in your life, honestly, it really does clutter your mind. There's so much more to worry about. The less you have, the less to worry.
I could do, like, a whole show on decluttering. Like,
yeah.
I need ideas.
Maybe we should do that.
I mean, no, it's so true. I would love it. Like, it's 100%. It's so true. I'm at home. You know, I'm a stay-at-home mom, and I could just fill up boxes and boxes a day of stuff that I do not need in my house. It's outrageous. I mean, I would love to hear from anybody else out there.
Oh, my
listening.
God, Shay, guess what? Ebony wants to speak to us again. She's back.
Oh, great. Yay.
She's back. Okay. So let's
What's
add
up?
Ebony, welcome to the Roxy Rose Show. Ebony, are you there? Hey, Ebony, are you there? Oh, no. It looks like she hung up again.
Aww. Well, we'd really love to
Shay,
talk to you.
At least we have each other.
Who's this Ebony? We're so curious.
I know. She better call back because now I need to know who she is. Okay, but
seriously,
it looks like we have another caller. Jennifer wants to talk to us. Hey, Jennifer.
Oh.
Welcome to the Roxy Rose Show.
Hello?
Jennifer, are you
Hi.
There?
Hi.
Hey.
This is Shay
welcome
and
to our
Roxy.
Show.
Thanks. How's it going tonight?
Hello?
Hey, can you hear us?
Yes.
Welcome to the Roxy Rose Show.
Hi.
Hey.
How are you guys? How's it going?
Tell us, what's on your mind tonight?
What are you doing tonight?
I'm just sitting here listening to your show.
Oh,
so
we're so happy.
Thank you so much.
How'd
you feel about the show tonight? Do you have any comments?
Oh, no. Are we losing? Who was Jennifer?
Jennifer, are you there?
We are just having a bad connection tonight.
Yeah, I mean, we are just not doing too well.
Well, as long as we have each other, Roxy, we will make it through this night.
That
oh my.
And a bottle of wine.
Yes, 100%.
Okay, so it looks like Jennifer's gone, but it also looks like Lisa wants to speak with us. Okay,
yay,
Lisa, welcome
Lisa.
To the Roxy Rose Show. Are you with us?
Hi.
Hi, great.
Can you hear me?
Yes, perfect. How's it going?
It's going great. I've been hearing a couple of different things while I've been kind of in the queue about decluttering and New Year's resolutions. I do not believe in them. I think they set you up for failure.
Okay.
Oh, really?
I agree in a way. I definitely agree.
I start my diet in December before Christmas.
Oh, so that... So you start that's the wrong thing. First of all, don't ever say that word.
No, I'm just saying I'm joking about that. But no, anything that I plan to do, I do it prior to the new year or well after. Because if I say I'm going to do it, quit smoking. There's been years and years of things that, you know, I vowed I was going to do. I just never did it on the first. It's something about it. It's a mental thing. It's a mental thing.
You know
I've had a lot of success.
I mean, if that's what works for you, that's what works for you.
No, I totally agree. First of all, you know what I found that also helped me out is you have to announce what you're doing. Not only to yourself, like say it out loud, but you have to announce it to your friends and family. Kind of make it embarrassing if it doesn't happen. You know, make it like it's going to happen.
I hate to be argumentative, but I disagree with that.
No, I love
because,
it.
I'll tell you why.
We love it.
Because people will sabotage you. If you want to lose weight, if you want to quit smoking, if you want to get another job, get a better job, there are so many people who are miserable themselves. They want to hold you down. And they don't want
but
to
I
see
bring
you
that
succeed.
On. Or bring
well,
it on. That's what motivates me.
But it also, that's the motivating part of it, is that knowing that everyone's kind of watching to see what happens.
For some. And I would say that some, you got...
No,
got
I hear what you're saying.
Six on
it's
one hand and half a dozen on the other. Because I had a lot of supporters whenever I tried to do something to better myself or improve myself, I had some on one hand who were rooting for me. Those are the ones I dealt with. The ones who were on the sidelines going, oh, I don't think you need to lose any more weight, or, oh, you can just have a cigarette. It's not going to kill you.
If they're friends, they need to be gone.
No, and some of them, honey, some of them are family. No.
That's,
you got them all over. Not-
You know what?
Oh,
I completely agree with you. There's a lot of things that I try to work on, and I tell certain people, but I know now that I only share that with people that I can trust to help push me forward.
Well, really, though, they're the ones that are in your corner. I mean, I've had people say stuff to me that, you know, it's a shot, and you feel it's a shot.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is who this is coming from, so you don't tell everybody your business. If you're on a mission, sometimes you don't want everybody to know your business. By the time you look around, you quit smoking or you dropped 2 dress sizes or you've gotten a promotion.
And then you announce that you're saying. And then you say, hey, look at me.
Exactly.
I see that also. Like we were talking, simple living, like we were discussing earlier, like cutting back. I mean, if you said they were family, and most of them were family, but if they're friends, I would cut them back. Cut them out. Bam.
Yeah.
Gone.
Yeah.
You don't
cut them
negative.
Out of our lives. We're shedding pounds and we're shedding people.
Yes.
We're shedding decluttering, people. Decluttering your relationships as well as your own.
You know what? Can I go back to the whole New Year's resolution thing? Just to be the devil's advocate, I do understand. I could see
how having New Year's resolutions on New Year specifically is helpful to a lot of people. And I'm not saying that it works for everybody, but for
moneymaker for
masses, that could be. But also, it's nice to have a date that you're looking up for. Okay, I'm going to give myself this time, but we're going to on New Year's, this is when we're going to make a change. And for a lot of people, they need that push. They need to know that this is when the cutoff is.
No, I'm still here.
Are you
laughing at?
I hear like dogs.
Yeah.
Okay, so Lisa, it's been really wonderful speaking with you. I loved having your
side
of
things.
Where is
Lisa from?
Sorry?
Lisa, where are you from?
I'm from Baltimore.
Baltimore.
Oh, great.
But it looks like we have another caller, so Lisa, we'll see you soon.
Okay,
thank you for calling, Lisa. Please call back.
Yeah,
okay.
Please call back. Thanks.
All right.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Okay, so it looks like Ebony, the infamous Ebony, is back. Ebony,
I don't believe it
to the
until
Rocky
I
Road
hear
show.
Ebony.
Hi, guys. Hi.
Ebony, yay!
How are you?
I'm good.
You're from the UK?
I'm from the UK, yes. I'm from the UK.
Wow!
That's fantastic.
How did you come across the Roxy Rose show?
Yeah, I know. I just happened to see you guys online, and I happened to go to sleep early when I came in from work and then woke up, like, so awake. And I was like, right, okay, what can I watch? So
I love your accent. I can listen to her all night.
Well,
I'm
with the BTR and Sandy.
Where are you from?
I'm from London. I was born and brought up in London, and I've lived here all my life, really. I've traveled to other places, but this is my home. I'm a Londoner.
Wow. I feel like our show is so high class now with that beautiful accent.
I know. This is fantastic. You made our night.
Okay, so Ebony, how do you feel about our show? Do you have any comments?
Well, I originally called in because I think you were talking about people who are controlling, and I think those people who know me know that I have a show on BTR, and we're always talking about relationships. So controlling, hey, that's a real no. But I think sometimes it creeps up on you, and I think people, you kind of got to be quite astute to be aware of it, really identify it. And then, you know, have a policy to remove it or to not allow it to penetrate the relationship. But I think, people aren't always aware at the beginning. So nicety can sound like, I'm being nice. I'm just really making sure you're okay today. So I'm calling you 20 times. Mm. Do you know what I mean? I'm calling you 20 times. Well, no, who does that?
No, it's so true. Yeah.
So you have to identify, I always say, BS for BS, and know that it's unacceptable. There's something wrong in that behavior. But first, you've got to get your brain out of the emotional, I call it roller coaster, where you're just tuning in the niceties that you want to hear, you know, the affection that you want to receive, and you're not actually trying to work out who this person is, right? So, you know, I always say to my ladies and people who really want me to coach them, I normally say, look, you know, if you step out, what you do is you tell a third person, a third party, what's going on with person, and normally they have a better vision of what's going on, because fresh eyes without the emotion normally see exactly what is going on.
Yeah.
Right? So if
that goes back to what we were saying earlier about not getting set in your ways and being open-minded. 100%.
Yeah. So sometimes, you know, you're telling a friend about a relationship and they go, oh, really? You did that? Oh, that sounds right. You know, and you go, no, really, it's all cute, it's really cool, it is mad, okay, it's mad. So you need to be prepared to listen as well when something is wrong, but you can't see it yourself, okay? And that doesn't mean that, you know, because friends aren't always good to you. Sometimes friends will be a little bit jealous, you know, particularly girlfriends of a new relationship. So they may be already have the blighters on it anyway, and they want to see it go down because they don't want to be, you know, misery loves company, that kind of stuff. there are other people who really, who you trust and have your best interests at heart, who will hear it for what it is and be able to tell you when some, when it seems like you're in a relationship that isn't, you know, isn't as it should be. I don't want to say normal because normal can be different for lots of people.
Normal doesn't really exist.
Yeah, it doesn't exist. So just, you know, it's just not the way that could work for you or wouldn't help you long term. That's what you want to identify. And
no, I'm
some,
so glad you, you put us like in
some,
a reality check.
Yeah, absolutely. And if something happens, you know, like someone freaks out a bit on a date or a space where you start to feel uncomfortable, acknowledge something happened, acknowledge it didn't feel good, you know, and address it, but don't forget it. You know, don't kind of be on the back burner.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, that will never happen again. You know, identify it for
what
it is.
Oh, my gosh, 100%.
Right, and
but
decide
you know,
what you do about it. Yeah.
The thing is about, let's talk more, with a long-term relationship, though, with short-term relationships, I could see that when you're dating, look for the signs.
Well, it's
but
in the beginning. I feel like, Rucky, with us, for instance, like I've been with my husband, I mean, we haven't been married this long, but we've been together for 10, 11 years now since we were 16 years old. And I kind of forgot about the beginning parts and like the first year, 2 years even. But I'm so glad that Ebony brought it up. Like I totally, you do have to bring that up about like be wary of the controlling, you know, sneaking up on you, like Ebony was saying.
Yeah. But the truth is I think in most marriages, most of my friends, most of my family that I've seen that have been married for a long time, at some point or another, obviously there's certain problems that every relationship has, but they, at some time or another, you kind of come up with every sort of little, you know, at one point they could be controlling, at one point they could be jealous, at one point they could be something. I feel like marriage is almost, it's almost like you're, it's supposed to bring out the worst in you at times to maybe conquer it. But the truth is, I think every relationship deals with most of these issues at some point or another.
Yeah. And it isn't that it doesn't happen. It's how you address it. That's why I say you've got to address it and then you move on. And hopefully the relationship grows into a more positive space because it's when you see the behaviors that you can start to grow as a couple. You can say, well, okay, you know, that came out and maybe that isn't really me, but you know, when you did this, it made me feel this way. As long as it's not violence or something like that. But it could be that the person felt jealous, didn't want you to go away on holiday with your friends. If you were planning a little girly night out, they didn't want you to going out without them, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, that happens because, you know, there are stories, horror stories, and we're all affected by the stories.
Mm-hmm.
So it may not be you, but you may be going out with a friend, and that friend I don't trust. Okay? It happens for men, it happens for women, all right? So
well,
my guy might be going out with a group of his friends and I look at them and I go, I know what's happening tonight, okay?
Yeah.
And it ain't about my guy who I trust 100%, but peer pressure is a, you know,
exactly.
A factor, right? So
no, but I do like
you.
The point that you brought up about having, when you're in a relationship, I do love the point that you brought up in the beginning that to have a friend set aside, like have a good friend that you tell everything, you know, because you do have to have that person, especially in the beginning of a relationship. You're in love.
Shay.
Everything's perfect to you.
Shay. Shay. I'm so sorry to interrupt you, but it looks like we actually have another caller.
Oh, let me go.
No, please call back, Ebony.
We love it.
Ebony, stay on the line with us. You don't have to go anywhere. But we're going to welcome Stan Stunna to the Roxy Rose Show. Stan, how are you? Stan, are you there?
Stan Stunna in the building. What's going on, ladies?
Oh, Stan.
Hey.
Welcome.
Where are you from?
Baltimore, Maryland, Street Legal Radio, the Underground.
Baltimore.
So we're talking about
how you doing tonight?
We good. We talking about control freaks, right?
Oh yeah.
Well,
are
you
a control freak, Stan?
Of course I am. You know I am.
Oh yeah.
No.
So how do you feel about this, Mr. Control Freak?
Listen, sometimes man has to take control to create structure in the household.
I like
it. So it doesn't get out of hand.
Oh, wow.
Sometimes
Jay,
you have
I'm surprised.
Sometimes the laws have to be laid down, you know, ground rules, and everybody needs to just follow suit so it can be in working order. You know what I mean?
Stan, how do you go about putting things in order?
What laws do you lay down?
Well, I'm big on scheduling. Schedule when the clothes need to be washed, the food needs to be cooked, you know, the dishes need to be washed, and definitely my car. No, I'm kidding about the car.
Wow.
So Stan, you're saying that you need, does it need to be the man, or it could be the man or the woman? But someone has to be in charge.
Whoever's the better leader. It might be the woman. Some men ain't shit. You know what I mean? Oh, excuse me. Can I cuss?
Yeah, you can.
I think
cuss.
You can.
Go crazy.
Okay.
It's all good.
Listen, some men not made to run a household. Some women are better at it. So if the woman's 100%. Better than,
amen.
You know what I'm saying? So if the woman's better than, she needs to assume the position and, you know, pay the bills and tell him when the grass needs to be cut and, you know, bring your check home and you take this much is going to bills.
Well, the thing is, Stan, is how do you say it? I think that's the real question.
Yeah. I agree with everything you're saying, but, like, some of the terminology is a little strong. Like, I agree, because I'm a house mother. I have three young children, and I also agree. I feel like it does need to be done by the woman, and the husband goes out and work. Like, I have a degree, but I enjoy staying home right now when my children are young. Things get done, but scheduling is a part that I don't agree with. What do you mean by scheduling? Like,
well, also, if my husband came home from work and he tried to tell me to go cut the grass or that I'm not on top of my shit, I don't think he'd be sleeping at home, to be honest. And I'm all for you, Shay. I hear you, Shay. I'm with you. I think definitely the husband, I feel that they should be the breadwinners and they should definitely be the ones in charge, but there is definitely a way to say things.
No, yeah. But the
elaborate.
The husband doesn't have to necessarily be the one. It might be the woman. The husband might not have the brain to make sure everything's working. And when I say scheduling, I mean, like, just a list of when things need to be done. You know what I'm saying? Because men get lazy sometimes, too. You know what I'm saying? So
this
I think
is true.
Might be better because, you know, and if it's not done
wow.
and everything's working to the schedule and somebody misses their scheduling, then, you know.
That's true.
Well, so Stan, how would you go about doing this?
Well, you know, I'm definitely a leader in all aspects of my life, so I would be the man in charge. So the woman would automatically know that when they get in a relationship, when they see my leadership qualities.
Oh, Lord.
They would
well,
assume.
I think the main thing is that you need to have respect.
No,
I 100% agree with you. Definitely, you need to be a team, and there needs to definitely be a captain, but I mean, you need to have respect. It's really about the way you talk to each other. And someone, you can tell the other, you know, your partner that things need to happen or something's being neglected, but I think it's really about the way you say it.
Right.
It definitely
has to be. Listen, if you're not respectful about it, it's just going to cause conflict.
Yeah.
That's just the bottom line. If you don't have mutual respect for each other in a situation, it's going to be completely controlled. So
and I also think there needs to be, like, a lot of communication even before you have kids. Like, I don't even know if you have kids, Sam, but before you even have the relationship in the early stages, you need to say, like, once we have kids, what do you think about, you know, like, come clean with what you feel, how the relationship will
is
be
important.
Later on in
yeah,
the latter.
You definitely have to straighten it out before you have kids. And
exactly.
I have four lovely, beautiful kids.
Great.
You
That's
have
awesome.
How many?
Four.
Oh, wow.
I like that number.
Yeah, I got twin girls 11, a son 17, and a daughter 20.
Oh, wow. My gosh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Are you married, Stanley?
My twins are related to Tay Real. The man
oh,
over there.
Yay!
Are they
yeah.
really?
Shout out to our producer.
Yeah, shout out to Tay Real. Busy Nate,
yeah,
listen.
Yeah, great.
When y'all coming back on the show, I want y'all to bring your other your co-hosts on the show too.
Oh,
so we can talk.
Almost definitely. You already know. You already know we're gonna be back on the
Nizzy Nay.
Nizzy Nay. Well, Ebony, are you still there?
Yes, I am. I wanted to ask Stanley if he's actually married.
No, I'm not married.
Okay, why aren't you married? Because you got like four lovely kids. Is there a reason why you're not married?
I was waiting for a lady with a lovely voice like you, Ebony.
You have to move the lawn, Don.
The matchmaking show.
Oh, my God. Well, Stanley, I was going to say, tomorrow night I do a show called Global Village Dating, which is for singles. It's on BTR, and it's on at 5 p.m. Eastern. So I'd love for you to come on my show and talk to the ladies. I think you've got great voice yourself. But I'm not looking.
So you think he got it going on?
Yeah, I think Ebony. He's got something there. He definitely has something.
We need to find Dan a partner.
Yes,
yeah.
I think so.
He's all right.
Come and check me out. I'll get you
wait
someone.
Wait up, Ebony.
Definitely.
I didn't realize that you were famous. I didn't realize that we had a celebrity on here.
I know. Ebony, can you – Global what? What was it again?
It's called Global Dating, and it's on BTR. It's on at 5 p.m. Eastern tomorrow night.
Wow.
That's 4 p.m. Central and 2 p.m. PST or whatever that is in the U.S.
Okay.
But, we're on 5 p.m. Eastern and 10 p.m. in the U.K. So if you guys
Shannon, we got to get on that.
Check me
out. Sounds
great.
Yeah.
Ebony, the only thing is,
Miss Ebony. That's great. What's the website again?
Ebony Empress Shows. And if you look on BTR, just Google Ebony Empress Shows. The show, I haven't put the show up yet for tomorrow, but it will be up.
No, Ebony, I hate to ask you this, but
yeah.
I mean, you have a lovely accent, but are you saying Empress with a P?
Yeah, Ebony Empress.
Empress, okay.
Yeah, E-M-P-R-E-S-S. Empress,
okay.
Or people say princess, but it's Empress, okay.
Okay, so we are definitely going to check that out.
Hey, Ebony, one thing, though. My show is on 5 p.m.
Go ahead.
Eastern time tomorrow.
Oh, is it? Oh, I'm sorry.
You guys have to get together another time.
You have to get together. How long is your show? Is it for 2 hours or an hour?
It's actually for 3 hours, from 5 to 8.
Oh,
wow.
My God. So you're going to miss
awesome.
Me. But I am back on Tuesday. I'm on Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Eastern as well. So if you don't make the Thursday, you won't, because you've got your own show. It's on Tuesday because we talk about relationships. On Tuesday as well. Love to have you on. Come in and give me your idea of what it's like for men's
perspective. Okay, so Ebony and Stan, it's been lovely talking to you guys. Really a pleasure. Thank you for coming on to the show.
I'm going to stay now, guys.
Call again, guys. It's been awesome.
We'll hopefully talk to you guys again, okay?
Yeah, I'm going to follow the show. And
thank you so much.
Yeah, thank
Ebony,
you.
We really appreciate that.
Thank you, Ebony.
No problem.
Thank you for adding your beautiful accent to this wonderful show.
Thank you. Great show, ladies. Great show.
Thank you.
Okay, so Shay, it looks like we have one more little segment on here that we want to pop in our search for New Year's resolution. We came upon this fun little thing that they said everyone should do. It's a couple points of easy things that everyone can do. 9 easy New Year's resolutions that you can achieve this year. Okay, so let's go through this. Okay, the first one is don't try to be a hero. Just pick one book and read it. I like
don't
that
try
one.
To
I
hero.
Can do that. I can
no,
do
it's
that.
So true. I feel like everybody tries to be a hero when they start something out. Like, I can do this. And then, like, maybe half a thing gets done.
Yeah. Also, did you ever, like I was telling you earlier, when we went to see The Hunger Games, I told you about my Katniss crush, right?
Oh, good Lord. I've heard too much.
You know what? If you read a good book or you watch a good movie, I definitely walked out of that theater feeling like Katniss.
I you know what? That brings that back to my mind, like, men, when they go see, like a Fast and Furious movie, they leave the theater, like, flying down the road, like they're in the role.
Oh, yeah, and they pump up the music.
Oh, good Lord. I'm like, what are you doing?
You know, it's not a bad idea. I think it's important to read a good book every now and again.
Please. I would love
just
to read a book.
Yeah.
When my children are, like, 15. One day.
Okay, so the next one is once, just once, go to bed at 9 p.m. Do it on a Tuesday. How do you feel about that one, Shay?
I don't know. It sounds nice. Wonderful, actually. I don't know if it's going to be done.
I literally go to bed at 9 o'clock most nights.
Really?
Yeah.
I think when I was pregnant, I went to bed around that time. But afterwards, like, once you have the kids, it doesn't happen. I feel like once they're sleeping, which for me is around 9 o'clock, then I want to be up a little bit. I feel like that's when my day starts, kind of.
I hear you.
I don't know.
I definitely hear you. The problem is that, as you know, my husband's a baker. So he gets up at these ungodly hours.
And
so,
you're up super early.
Yeah. So especially recently, we've been trying to actually get up every day at the same time to help with
What's
his...
What's that time, Roxy?
5 o'clock.
Butt cracking. I don't even know
5 a.m.
It's not even in my vocabulary.
You know what? It works for us. It really does because we're so energized when we wake up. It's hard to get out of bed, but once we're out of bed,
it's
literally like the best. It's much better than staying up later because you're so exhausted. When you wake up, you're
like
fresh.
My problem is when I get out of bed, my kids like kind of wake up. They always, I've even noticed this. They wake up sometimes in the middle of the night. They peek out of their eye and they see you and they come a little closer and they feel you and they go back to sleep. But when I'm not there, because I guess everybody also doesn't know that my kids are little and they sleep with me still. So they go back to sleep.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I think that's a big piece to this puzzle.
Maybe most kids sleep in whatever cribs and different beds. Mine are little, 10 months, 1 and 2, or 2 and 3 now. But they still, majority of the time, sleep with us. So when they are sleeping, they feel us, they know we're there. But when I'm out of the bed, they tend to wake up. So I kind of,
I guess if you're a co-sleeper, I don't know.
All right.
Honestly, so I don't know.
Both of yours are in different rooms.
What? Well, our older son comes into bed with us, but thank God he sleeps right through it.
That's good.
Let's go to this next one. Okay, it says grow a beard if you can. If you can't, work on containing your jealousy.
What does that mean?
I have no idea. I don't know why they put those two together.
What does grow a beard if you can't maintain your jealousy?
I don't know.
What's the next one? I don't like
that
one. What does that mean?
Plan something interesting 6 months in advance. That way, if the next 6 months suck, you'll have something to look forward to.
It's so true. Oh, my God.
Hawaii.
It's so true. Yeah.
I 100% agree with that one.
Biz match.
Nizzy, are you still with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Nizzy, how do you feel about these?
I don't know. Is that like relationship type of tip?
This is just New Year's resolutions.
So what are you saying? What are you saying, Roxy? Like, if you're down in the dumps, plan something in advance and you'll be good to go?
Yeah, I mean, right now.
How is that a resolution? What does that mean?
No, this is just, it says New Year's resolutions you can actually achieve. It says plan something interesting in the next 6 months.
Oh, okay. That's good, yeah, for any time. If there's something planned, a vacation or whatnot, you're super psyched. You try to look your best, you try to feel your best, get everything prepared.
Shannon, do you have anything planned?
For me, this is my big trip, moving, coming to visit the East Coast for a month where my husband's on training. This was our big thing.
Okay, so the next one. Stop trying to stop procrastinating. Embrace the fact that you get things done efficiently.
Oh, gosh. Procrastination.
That kind of seems like an oxymoron.
Yeah, I think so. Procrastination is like, yeah, that's a big thing.
I don't think that's efficient. Okay. Okay, so it looks like we're going to be coming up on our break in a little bit. But it was wonderful talking to everyone. We're going to have a short break, and then we're going to come back to the Roxy Rose Show, okay?
All righty. See you guys soon.
See you soon.
Drum, please.
Here it is, a groove slightly transformed, just a bit of a break from the norm, just a little something to break the monotony of all that hardcore dance that has gotten to be a little bit out of control. It's cool to dance, but what about a groove that soothes and moves romance? Give me a soft, subtle mix, and if it ain't broke, then don't try to fix it. And think of the summers of the past, adjust the bass and let the alpine blast. Pop in my CD and let me run a rhyme, and put your car on cruise and lay back, cause it's summertime. Buzz. But back then I didn't really know what it was. But now I see what happened is the way that people respond to summer madness. The weather is hot and girls are dressing less and checking out the fellas to tell them who's best. Riding around in your Jeep or your Benzos, or in your Nissan sitting on Lorenzo's. Back in Philly we be out in the park. A place called the Plateau is where everybody goes. Guys out hunting and girls doing likewise. Honking at the honey in front of you with the light eyes. She turned around to see what you beeping at. It's like the summer's a natural aphrodisiac. And with a pen and pad, I compose this rhyme to hip you and to get you equipped for the summertime. Yet, hustle to the mall to get me a short set. Yeah, I got on sneaks, but I need a new pair, cause basketball courts in the summer got girls there. The temperature's about 88. Hop in the water plug, just for old time's sake. Break to your crib, change your clothes once more, cause you're invited to a barbecue to start at 4. Sitting with your friends, as y'all reminisce about the days growing up and the first person you kissed. And as I think back, makes me wonder how the smell from a grill can spark off nostalgia. All the kids playing out front, little boys messing around with the girls playing double dutch, while the DJ spinning a tune as the old folks dance at your family reunion. Then 6 o'clock rolls around, you just finished wiping your car down. It's time to cruise, so you go to the summertime hangout. It looks like a car show. Everybody come looking real fine, fresh from the barbershop, a fly from the beauty salon. Every moment frontin' and maxin', chillin' in the car, they spent all day waxin', leanin' to the side, but you can't speed through 2 miles an hour, so everybody sees you. There's an air of love and of happiness, and this is the Fresh Prince's new definition of summer madness.
Just like a bird, I just want to fly free, and I own a piece of land, somewhere off in a country. Oh, hey, listen. like 100 degrees. Like I got chains in me. Blackmail in the family of three. Been proud of my destiny. Reckon I'll fly away. Cause it's too much for the man. Shouldn't have gone down this way. What happened to my master plan? Cause I can't figure out. I could have been a love child. Shouldn't have gone down this way. Tell me, how did I get lost?
Again, can't think the rap again. Beats ain't coming easy. Hate it when it happens, man. But I'm good cause I gotta be. You fed the beast inside of me. Old me, RIP. Realizing the people in my life is really all I need. No hoes or no no to those who wanna up and leave. Looking for reasons because I do the single. Did you think it would be different if y'all decide to mingle? LOL, 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 LOL. I guess we go through changes. I guess we go through changes, go through changes, yeah. That's why we feel like strangers. That's why we feel like strangers, yeah. It costs the same word. They ain't got no words for me. I ain't gotta say a word. I just let these birds fly free.
Welcome back. It's Real Talk Radio, and this is the Roxy Rose Show. Shay, you there?
Hey, hey, hey.
I'm
hey.
Here. Okay, so back to current events. It looks like we have one more segment, and it's quite a fiery one. Are you ready for this? Mm-hmm.
Let's hear it.
So
what's
pretty much in Texas, your new hometown,
yep.
A woman who was pregnant, she was hospitalized because of a brain aneurysm. I'm not sure there's a couple different things saying things, but pretty much something happened. She is now brain dead, and she is 20 weeks pregnant. Now, her husband wants to take her off life support because a couple years back she mentioned that she would not want to be a vegetable. But the hospital is now fighting him, saying that they won't take her off until she gives birth. How do you feel about that?
Oh, until she gives birth?
Yeah. So now there's a big fight going on in court about this woman that they don't want to
kill.
So keep,
why would he want to kill two people if he didn't have to? I don't understand. You know?
I mean, I'm in disbelief that this actually happened. This is horrible.
How did it happen in the first place?
And they said that she went to go take care of their 15-month-old, and then she didn't come back, so her husband went to go check on them, and she didn't have a pulse. She was just laying there.
Okay, so she's on life support, brain dead, and her husband is saying he wants to take her off life support and end both of their lives?
Yeah, pretty much. And now they're fighting in court because the hospital is saying, no, they're not going to stop taking care of her until she gives birth.
Oh, wow. No, I mean, 100% to me agree with the hospital. What do you think?
Do you think it's even possible to be the devil's advocate over here and see why? You know what? I'm having a hard time with this one also, Shay.
Why would he not want his child? I don't understand.
I think what I'm getting is that they're not sure if the baby, if the fetus has how the fetus is, because if the mother was off, she didn't have oxygen for who knows how long. So the baby also didn't have oxygen. So I'm guessing is that he is nervous that the baby is also brain dead.
So what?
I mean, this is definitely not a situation that I would want to be in. If we have any callers out there that have any comments on this, the number is 347-838-9540. Again, 347-838-9540. I'd love to hear what anyone has to say about this because,
yeah.
I mean, I haven't heard about something. I don't think I've ever heard something like this.
Me neither. I think I also feel the same as you as in, I mean, it would be no, I could care less even what my spouse thought. At the time, it's my child, and I definitely would not want to, I mean, end their life. I'd keep her on life support as long as possible, as long as my child's still
alive. I don't know.
I mean, it's definitely, can you try, though? Can you, I'm curious, how could you see it from his side?
I don't know.
Or you
I
just can't,
know.
You're done.
No, I'm done. That's it. I don't know. I have no idea. If there,
it's interesting.
If there,
it's in
if
Texas.
I could see, there's a live baby in there, no matter if it's brain dead or not. Who cares? You wait till the baby comes out. What is that? That's just like the same thing as I don't understand where the whatever. What the test called when they check to see if your baby is like has Down syndrome or whatnot. What's it called?
Amnio.
Yes. Okay. So the big needle
something
goes
like
into
that.
The stomach. Check. You know, it's a big test. Why? To me, I don't even understand why it's done. You know, some people say to abort. That doesn't even cross my mind. So what if the baby is? You know, that's just a test. They say that tests can have other complications, such as like a miscarriage is a huge one. Why would you even want to?
So I mean, guess this comes back to abortion then. And this really the question is. Is abortion.
Well, it's
Am
that
right?
And not wanting to have a Down syndrome child. Why would you even test? What's the point of even testing to see if you, to prepare yourself? Okay. But if you prepare yourself, I mean, but you have to understand the risk of the test. The test is having a miscarriage, which is, it's great. You know, it's greater than even wanting to test. I would just wait till you have a child. I mean, I believe the less is more with childbirth. With childbirth,
you know, it's funny.
Less
I actually know
me.
Someone. I know someone who they did the test and they wound up losing their baby. They didn't have a miscarriage. She she had her baby and it was a stillborn.
Oh,
so it's
wow.
funny because you normally don't hear about these things, but I actually know someone personally that it happened to.
So I know two people have had the test, and they've said that the baby is Down syndrome, when, in fact, both times the baby has been normal, absolutely normal. Scares the hell out of the parents for no reason. What's the point?
Nizzy, it sounded like you had something to say about that.
Yeah. What does, like, the test consist of? Like, what do they actually do?
It's very invasive, and it's actually a very long needle that sticks all the way into your stomach. It takes out fluid, and it tests the fluid of the baby, you know, something I believe, it, you know, it takes the fluid out and tests, and it comes back whether or not. I mean, it's very, like, foggy. Like, they don't 100% know if the baby has Down syndrome or not. And they, like I said, I have two people that I know that have been told their child will be Down syndrome, have Down syndrome, and they've both been, you know, perfectly normal. Like, they do not have Down syndrome, which why volunteer
for
their
testing?
No, they didn't have further. There's no other further testing to have besides, I mean, nothing. You could have more ultrasounds, I guess, to possibly tell you. But to me, why even bother? What's wrong with the Down syndrome trial? Why would you even, you know, like?
Well, let me
why?
Ask you a question. Not that I'm not saying, you know, either way. But just to be the devil's advocate, how, you know, what if you're a couple? What if you're young and you can't take care of a Down syndrome child? What if that is the case?
I might need a caller because, to me, I can't fathom it. If you have a child, you know, like, there's nothing – I mean, to me, a Down syndrome child is, you know, they're so sweet.
I mean,
I
happen to also feel that, you know,
yeah.
I would never want to be tested with that. But I don't like to judge anyone. So
right,
I can see
true.
How it's someone true. That, you know, is in that situation, though, how they can be conflicted.
I don't know. I hear you get the test. People say they get the test just to prepare themselves, but the test is so
right.
dangerous. It's not, to me, it's not worth it. Otherwise, people get the test to actually, a lot of people abort. When they find out they have a Down syndrome child, they, you know, that just to me is not, you know, I can't fathom it.
I guess for me personally, the only reason I would test is that I would want to know if there's anything, if there's some sort of disease that can be fixed inside the womb.
Yeah, but it can't be fixed. None of it, I mean.
Well, there is sometimes, you know, I heard of, there was something in the news a couple years ago about, you know, a woman who had surgery on her baby while she was still pregnant with the baby.
One thing that I know is, have you ever heard of the baby when the baby's born, it's born with its intestines out?
Oh, yeah.
So that's one thing that a baby can be operated on. I believe, I don't know if it's while the baby's still in you, like what, during pregnancy, or as soon, like emergency, like right when it comes out. But, yeah, I can see that. But otherwise, down to the child, okay.
Well, Shannon, I know that you're a big home birth advocate, no sonograms, nothing like that. But I know you changed your mind because of a situation like that. Am I right?
Yes, I did. So I was not planning on having
went
my child
dark
at
side.
A hospital. I did. To the dark side, I went. So, yes, from the beginning, I was kind of weary of hospitals as a young 23-year-old having my first child. So me and my husband decided to have our child at a birthing center. But when the time came at the very end, we had our child at home. I guess from it came to be like a liability reasons. Like they thought my child, I was 2 weeks late with him, and I was 2 weeks late with all three of my children. Like, so it came to be, they thought that I was just, you know, it was a danger for my child not to be induced at the time, that I should have been induced and had a, you know, like, which to me is scary in itself. That leads, you know, most times to C-sections and whatnot. But so I was freaking out, and at the last second, luckily, I had connections, and I had my home birth. I met my midwife the night before I had my child, and it worked for us. But I understand it's not for everybody, but to me, it works
Shannon,
for me.
I think you're leaving out a very important detail, which is I think Ben delivered your baby. Am I right?
My husband delivered our second child, yes.
Wow.
I wanted to put it all out there. Yes, my husband delivered our second child at home because our midwife didn't quite make it. Our second child came much faster, way faster than our first child. But it was the best birth ever. I mean, it was so peaceful, so nice. And, yes, people are probably like, oh, my God, what the hell? Is she crazy? That's neglectful. You know, it could have been a problem, whatnot. But, I mean, I don't know. For us, we lived close to the hospital. It could have been done, you know. To me, giving birth in a hospital is way, way, way riskier than giving birth at home. I mean, they just...
Why is that? How do you think... What were you saying?
Rocky, you gave birth to both of your sons in the hospital, yeah?
I did. At the end of the day, for us, you know, obviously I don't, if someone wants to do home birth, if someone wants to do it in a hospital, whatever, that's your decision that you have to make. I definitely think it needs to be the decision of the woman, 100%. I saw someone once that the husband was so adamant about having a home birth that you couldn't even see what the woman's perspective was. And I definitely think that's something that should be left under, down to the woman. You know, it's her body, she's having the baby. But, I mean, at the end of the day, for us, we decided to have our babies in the hospital because I felt like I could have a midwife, I could have everything I need in a hospital. Why not?
Yeah, but like I said a while ago, for me personally, less is more. Less is more, less is more. I do not want to be strapped down. Don't tell me what to do. You know, I feel like once you walk into a hospital, I love to have callers come in and say what they feel because we could tell up from your side.
I know,
but... for me, I just believe it's kind of like the military in my mind. Once you walk in, you sign those papers, you're theirs. They can do what they want. I mean, there's so many, you're not even like hardly the parent anymore. They tell you what you're going to do, whether or not it's, you can't eat. I mean, I was at home eating up until I had, you know, until I had my child, all pregnancies. I've had three. Once you walk into the hospital, you can't eat because you know why? They're prepping you for C-section. But it just, to me, it's just ridiculous. You prepare for...
I mean, I definitely see your point. You know, I've had two kids in the hospital. We've definitely butted heads with them. But the truth is, though, is what if?
All my midwives filled my living room with craziness. I mean, they had everything pretty much the hospital. A huge, massive, big-ass oxygen machine. They had, you know, forceps, vacuums, whatever else you could possibly imagine there. For C-section purposes, I literally lived less than a mile away from the hospital. They would get me there. They would call the ambulance, which would have all the same stuff in the ambulance, take me straight there for an emergency C-section if needed. I mean, And I was obviously if you're high risk, you don't have, I mean, a home birth, or you do your own thing, whatever. I don't believe you would have a home birth if you were high risk, but I was not. I was young. I still am young. I had, you know, all three of my children, I've had no issues. They test you the same as a regular doctor would. There was nothing that was dangerous in my mind whatsoever, so.
Mizzy, do you have any children?
No.
No.
So as an outsider, how do you
think we're crazy?
This?
No, I don't think you're crazy.
I feel like you like a lot of people watch like Rescue 911 or some stuff like, oh my God, I have my baby at home, and they're like, what happened? How did that happen? You know, like, did you go to the hospital? No, it was meant to be. We planned it.
Right.
I don't think you planned the Ben part.
No, that time was a second. He came quick. He came super fast, but it was happened to be our best birth ever because it was just us. It was very, you know, we were still attached. He was still attached to the umbilical cord for 30 minutes, which is supposed to be healthier. Let the blood flow into him, and it was calm, serene. No, you know, I don't know. I feel like if there was a nurse or some crazy people in my way, I would just cuss him out. That would be it. I don't like people in my birth. It's just, it's supposed to be, it's
in your business.
Intimate. It's intimate. It's supposed to be peaceful, dim lights.
I mean, it's amazing that you had such a wonderful birth. But
well, you're not,
ill.
You're not sick. You're not supposed to be hooked up to IVs. And, you know, I feel like once you walk in the hospital, they feel like they treat you like you have a disease once you're pregnant. Like, oh, God, you're sick. Like, quick, into the room, you know, into the room you go, lock you up, load you up, you know, put you on all this stuff. And to me, most of the time, once you're in that zone of you're pregnant and you, as 40 weeks, like I was 2 weeks late. If I would have went to a hospital or went to a regular doctor, I would have been convinced to have a Pitocin and all that stuff. Of course I want to have the baby early. I don't want to have the damn baby in me. I was 2 weeks late. I feel like I couldn't even walk. It was awful. But at the same time, you have to have the mindset of, like, the baby comes when it comes, and you have to just chill. But if I had a doctor, like, going, like, you know, like, cheerleading me on, saying, oh, yeah, Pitocin, let's have the baby come. I don't know. I feel like I would have gone with him and been like, let's have it. Start me on that Pitocin.
Well,
get the baby out of me.
What are you specifically against when it comes to Pitocin and
Pitocin? Because it really, Pitocin, what happens when you have Pitocin is that it raises your blood pressure, and it raises the baby's blood pressure, which that leads to a whole domino effect. It leads a majority of the time, not all times, but it leads to needing a C-section. I mean, it leads to needing a C-section. It, you know, the baby's in distress. You need, you know, like, and I in my mind, doctors really, especially, you know, they're in there, they want action, pretty much. They want action. They want something happening in their emergency room. You know, they don't want to just sit there and like. They don't want to sit there while you're in labor, all relaxed. You know,
Shannon,
walk
I feel like this
more.
Has something to do with your control freak side.
Maybe so. Maybe
am
I guess
right?
I do have some. I don't know, but you know what? I would love to have a whole nother segment on that. Roxy,
yeah, you know,
do we have
a
do we? I would love to. I could talk probably like 10 hours on this, but do we have a Facebook page already?
Oh,
we
do. Okay, so
Maze, what is it?
Everyone should like our page, The Roxy Rose Show on Facebook, spelled R-O-X-I. We would definitely appreciate it. We'd love to hear any comments that anyone has, if anyone wants to reach out to us. We love to hear what anyone has to say. Thank you to all our callers and listeners for joining
us. Yeah,
it's been
great.
And once again, we're in tune to the Roxy Rose Show on It's Real Talk Radio. Make sure you tune in next Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time by dialing 347-838-9540. I'm your host, Roxy
awesome.
Rose. My co-host is Shay Rose. So
see you later. Have a great night.
Woo! Special thanks to our guest caller of the night, Nizzy May.
Thanks for joining us. It's been
you
awesome.
There. Good night, guys. See you next week. I hope we were entertaining.
Bye-bye.